Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from Dorothy Gundy, Phil Dierking, and Brian Lynn. Later, Olivia Leo and Mario Ritter will bring us this week's education report. But first, here is Dorothy Gundy.
An independent group says it has documented Russian interference in the elections or political activities of at least 27 countries since 2004. The group, the nonprofit German Marshall Fund, studies public policy around the world. It said that Russia has been involved in disinformation campaigns on Facebook, Twitter, and other social media, in addition to attacks on computers. The German Marshall Fund reported these claims at a hearing of the Commission on Security and Cooperation in Europe, also called the Helsinki Commission. The meeting took place last week in Washington, D.C. The Helsinki Commission met to discuss what it called the scourge of Russian disinformation being spread both at home and overseas. Cory Gardner, a member of the United States Senate, spoke at the hearing. He said, through its Active Measures campaign that includes aggressive interference in the Western elections, Russia aims to sell fear, discord, and paralysis that harms democratic institutions and weakens critical Western alliances. Other experts agreed with Gardner during the meeting, which included few, if any, defenders of Russia. This was a sign of the increasingly aggressive relationship between the two countries. Molly McHugh works with the communications advisory service Fianna Strategies. She spoke with VOA about reports that Russia targeted U.S. voters on social media during the 2016 election campaign. I think even the Kremlin is surprised at how easy it is to use social media as an amplification tool for the kind of narrative that they do, she said. McHugh said opinion studies show that most Americans do not believe disinformation could work on them. But she says the Russian government uses advertising and basic psychology to get people to vote for a given candidate or to stay home on election day. She noted that nowadays many people get personalized news feeds on social media, so people can be targeted individually with what she calls ads or lies. U.S. officials have often directed criticism of Russian disinformation at the broadcasts of the Russian government-supported RT Television and Sputnik News Agency. Both have denied they are spreading propaganda. Several news agencies reported last week that the Federal Bureau of Investigation recently questioned a former White House reporter for Sputnik. It did so as part of an investigation into whether the news agency is acting as an undeclared propaganda arm of the Russian government. Sputnik reacted by releasing the following statement. We are happy to answer any questions the Department of Justice or the FBI might have. Sputnik is a news organization dedicated to accurate news reporting. Our journalists have won multiple awards throughout the world. Any assertion that Sputnik is anything but a credible news outlet is false. However, the head of the U.S. Broadcasting Board of Governors, or BBG, John Lansing, also spoke at the Helsinki Commission hearing. BBG supervises Voice of America and several other government-financed broadcasters. Lansing agreed with others on the severity of the Russian threat. He also said the U.S. must work against Russian disinformation with fair and balanced news and information. Lansing said he has seen a worldwide explosion of propaganda and lies. He added that his agency works hard to get factual information to Russian speakers around the world. Melissa Hopper is with the nonprofit organization Human Rights First. She said Germany appears set to defend itself from Russian attempts to interfere in its election later this month. She said the German government acted early following the U.S. election last November. The country has created a government-wide program to answer Russian efforts to make use of social media. Hopper also said France was successful in preventing Russian interference in its elections in April and May. The French media agreed not to report on information that came from cyber attacks. But Hopper warned Russia has a lot of tools it can use. Its worldwide media program has a budget of more than $300 million a year. She said the country's internet-based media uses this to weaponize false narratives about minority populations. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
Blasphemy is a sensitive subject in Pakistan, where strong religious feelings have led in the past to violence. Blasphemy laws are meant to guard against anything seen as a direct insult to God, Islam, or religious leaders. For people accused of violating such laws, the judgment is often a life or death matter. Under Pakistan's legal system, a judge can propose either life in jail or death to anyone found guilty of blasphemy. The issue is back in the news after a Punjab court last week condemned to death Nadeem James, who is Christian. The police said they had gathered evidence from someone who said James sent him a blasphemous poem through the software program WhatsApp. A Pakistani government lawyer confirmed a claim by James's defense lawyer that James never sent any blasphemous material to anyone. The accused said he never sent any blasphemous message through his cell phone. Prosecution lawyer Rana Naveed Anjum told VOA. But once something has been alleged against you, and there is enough evidence on record corroborating that assertion, then it is hard to deny or overlook such material. A Pakistani human rights activist, Mehdi Hassan, said it is difficult to get a fair trial in cases involving religious beliefs. In Pakistan, religious might is very influential, Hassan told VOA, and that thinking has an impact on police and other departments in such cases. Nadeem James' lawyer, Anjum Wakil, has said the defendant was framed by his so-called friend, who was annoyed by James's affair with a Muslim girl. Prosecutor Anjum agreed that James told investigators he had been set up. James and members of his family had been receiving threats, some of them from local religious leaders. Because of the sensitive nature of the case, the trial was held in secret and in a prison. Blasphemy is one of the most divisive laws in Pakistan. Rights groups say accusations of blasphemy are often abused and used to settle personal disputes. Activist Mehdi Hassan said the country's political parties should press Pakistanis to end the misuse of these laws. To address this problem as a long-term solution, political parties should play a role because democracy gives a level playing field to everyone, Hassan told VOA. Hassan remembered Muhammad Ali Jinnah, the well-respected lawyer and political leader who helped create modern-day Pakistan. He said, "We have to remember what Mr. Jinnah said. Religious beliefs are the personal matter of an individual." Jinnah served as Pakistan's first Governor General after the end of British colonial rule in 1947. Past blasphemy cases have fueled public anger that resulted in mob violence and killings. Mashal Kal was a journalism student at Abdul Wali Khan University in Pakistan's Khyber Pakhtunkhwa province. In April of this year, he was beaten and shot dead by other students. They became angry over reports that he had placed blasphemous comments online. In 2014, an angry mob in Punjab beat a Christian woman and her husband to death over blasphemy accusations. In 2011, Punjab Governor Salman Taseer was killed by his bodyguard after the governor proposed reforms for the blasphemy laws. Even with criticism, Pakistan's government has been calling for strict enforcement of blasphemy laws. In April, the government used newspaper advertising and text messages to warn millions of Pakistanis not to post, share, or upload blasphemous material online. The government also asked anyone finding such material to report it to the police. The group Human Rights Watch reports that 10 Muslims and 5 non-Muslims were arrested in Pakistan last year on blasphemy charges. In addition, at least 19 people found guilty of blasphemy were sentenced to death and are being held in prison. I'm Phil Dierking.
The private American company SpaceX has been called a pioneer in the space industry. SpaceX was the idea of businessman Elon Musk. He wanted to reduce the cost of space travel by reusing rockets over and over again. At the time, this was a completely new idea. For years, booster rockets that lifted spacecraft into the skies returned to Earth and were discarded at sea. At first, many scientists and people in the aerospace industry did not take Elon Musk and SpaceX seriously. There were many rocket failures in the company's early days of testing. But many people became believers after SpaceX successfully recovered its rockets, turning Musk's dream into reality. In recent years, SpaceX has increased the number of rockets it launches. These have included flights transporting supplies to the International Space Station, as well as many satellite launches. To date, SpaceX has successfully landed 16 first-stage booster rockets to be reused in future rocket launches. The most recent landing took place earlier this month in Florida. Some rockets touched down on land, while others landed on a floating platform in the sea. But before all the successes, there were also some big failures. SpaceX recently put together a collection of some of those failures in the form of a blooper video. Musk announced the video on Twitter, "How Not to Land an Orbital Rocket." In another recent post, he wrote, "We messed up a lot before it finally worked." He also promised that viewers would see some epic explosion video. The 2-minute video is set to John Philip Sousa's famous march, The Liberty Bell. It shows rockets exploding at sea and over land with short explanations and dates. The opening explosion, from 2013, is timed to the music. Towards the end, the video shows SpaceX's first successful booster landing at Cape Canaveral Air Force Station in 2015. The final shot is of the booster that touched down on an ocean platform in 2016. I'm Brian Lynn.
Gray is proficient in 5 languages: English, French, Spanish, Italian, and German. She is also learning Russian, Mandarin Chinese, and Dutch. She is doing this although she has a learning disability. A learning disability is a condition that makes learning difficult. Gray has dyslexia, a learning disability that makes reading, writing, and spelling difficult. I was an early reader, so nobody thought that I was dyslexic for a long time, Gray said. They had just thought that I had terrible handwriting and was a bad speller, not living up to my academic potential. The National Center for Education Statistics says that 13.8% of students learning English in the United States have a disability. The statistics include both physical and learning disabilities.
People with learning disabilities can have trouble reading, writing, spelling, or understanding texts. They may have a hard time processing sounds or calculating numbers. Disabilities can be mild or severe. Priscilla Shen is the assistant head of DAS Academy. The academy is part of the Dyslexia Association of Singapore. She said every dyslexic learner is different. Shen said students with mild dyslexia may do well in primary school, but may face problems in higher levels of education. Shen believes that lessons need to fit the needs of individual students.
Brenda Bernaldez is a specialist for the Office of English Language Programs in Mexico. She has taught English to students of all ages. Bernaldez said a multi-sensory approach to learning English could help students. She explained that this method includes using visual, auditory, and kinesthetic tools. Kinesthetic tools are activities in which students move, play, or act. This approach can involve teaching vocabulary words with pictures or using movable tiles to show how words are formed.
Leah Kami Stein is a professor at California State University in Los Angeles. She is an English language teacher who works with students struggling to read. She said students with mild learning disabilities need to develop the love for reading in order to read better. Kami Stein said the students should choose what they want to read, whether it is comics or books about animals. She also said that reading with someone else can help students hear how words sound.
In addition, she said students should learn text structures. For example, some texts have problem-solution structures where the problem is at the beginning and the solution is at the end. Students who know these structures can find information faster because they know where to look. Kami Stein also said that each lesson's vocabulary needs to be from readings in the lesson, and the vocabulary needs to be repeated. If what you are going to do is expose the kid to a vocabulary word one time, then that vocabulary word is not going to stick, she said.
Although Laura Gray speaks many languages, her grades would not have suggested this ability. She said writing and spelling, which she struggles with, usually affect students' grades the most. Gray said that language learning also involves speaking and listening, which affect grades less. Priscilla Shen said DAS Academy designs lessons for students' learning needs. The Academy might start with only listening and speaking.
Brenda Bernaldez encouraged students with learning disabilities to discover what learning methods work for them. She said students should then ask teachers to use those methods in class. Sarah Kangas is an assistant professor at Lehigh University in the state of Pennsylvania. She has researched English language learners with learning disabilities. She said, many schools only place students with learning disabilities into special education classes and not English language classes. Kangas said she hopes people who work in special education and English language teaching can collaborate to help these students.
Not all schools around the world provide special education, however. Brenda Bernaldez said, if you are, as a student, trapped in a situation where you cannot ask for anything, I would say try technology to help you deal with it. For students struggling to read and write, Bernaldez suggested using voice recorders to take notes. She said there are apps, like Evernote, that let students record voice notes and organize them. Leah Kami Stein said apps like Quizlet are useful because students can learn vocabulary by reading and hearing words and looking at pictures. Laura Gray said she likes Duolingo because the lessons let users take as long as they need. She said, if you're willing to keep going and keep doing it, you're going to get there.
Learning disabilities are not language specific. That means if someone with a learning disability has difficulties in one language, they are likely to have the same difficulties in another. Laura Gray said, in any language, she is a terrible speller. Priscilla Shin has researched dyslexia in Chinese language learners in Singapore. She said, Chinese language learners with dyslexia have similar difficulties to English language learners with dyslexia. While some students learning English may write D instead of B, some students learning Chinese may reverse Chinese characters. Chinese language learners with dyslexia may mix up stroke patterns, add or forget strokes. Some students may confuse words with the same sound but different meanings. Shen said color-coding Chinese characters may help. Many Chinese characters have semantic and phonetic parts. Semantic parts tell the reader what the word may mean, while phonetic parts tell the reader how to pronounce it. Shen said writing semantic parts in one color and phonetic parts in another color may help.
Brenda Bernaldez said wealthier people are more likely to be diagnosed with learning disabilities, while poorer people are less likely to be diagnosed. She said in Latin America, many people do not know what a learning disability is and do not know how to help students with learning disabilities. I think sometimes it's even a relief for the father and mother or the family to be like, oh, he's not slow. He actually has something we can deal with, Bernaldez said. Laura Gray said that she was not afraid of the judgments of others when she decided to get diagnosed. Before her diagnosis, she was frustrated because her undergraduate grades were not good. Getting diagnosed gave her an official reason why she was having difficulties. And with it, she is attending graduate school. She gives this advice to other language learners. You have to do it every day, and if you do it every day, it's definitely not so hard. But if you don't do it every day, it's almost impossible. I'm Mario Ritter.
And I'm Olivia Liel.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.